Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. All right, so we're going to continue our discussion that we started last time, and just going to kind of bring you up to speed on what's been going on with us. And here we go, part two.
If you're not listening, if you maybe kind of happen upon this, one of the key words, we are doing a series, a mini-series about the bad economy, looking for a job, job stress, that kind of a thing. And I was in an office this week, and I'm a crier, so I'm going to try not to cry this time. But I was in an office this week, and I was talking to a person, and out of the blue, they began to tell me how they were served with a notice of default. And I'm telling you, there's certain people that are living in some type of la-la land that there's really no bad economy, that it's actually good for me. And you're missing the point that there are people that are hurting and suffering. And, you know, this woman just broke down and cried. And I'm not trying to make her feel bad or whatever. I'm not mentioning any names, and you don't even know where I was. So the point is that this is having a ripple effect to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So if you know people that are not working, if you know people that are stressed out at their jobs because they got another memo about, you know, you better tighten it down, otherwise you're out of here. There's a lot of veiled threats out there about jobs, and you better perform, and you better da-da-da-da, and all this kind of stuff. It's a stressful time. So the Bad Economy series of shows and links that actually update every couple of minutes based on the posts from Google is badeconomy.roniezone.com. So you don't have to go to the front. If you go to the front of the site, you can click on the little graphic that's on the right. But if you want to go straight to the page where all the links are and all the shows are, it's badeconomy.roniezone.com. So I just want to talk to that. So actually, one more kind of bad story. We got one more.
I know.
We promise we won't be bad all the time. The last story is good, so keep listening, please. Okay. We got our identity.
Sort of.
Borrowed, I guess.
Yeah. And it really wasn't, we don't know that it was identity so much as it was my ATM debit card number. Somebody apparently got a hold of it, and I have no idea how, because I'm so careful about that. I try so hard not to just, I don't leave, you know, anything lying around. I always take my receipts. I always make sure, you know, everything. Anyway, apparently somebody decided that they didn't want to pay for anything themselves, and so they stole my number. And ironically, I wouldn't have caught it probably for days, and possibly could have ended up with more charges on it. They charged one amount, almost $200, at a car wash, and that's what triggered it. My first thought was, I know the economy's bad and people are hurting, so, you know, if somebody had gone to a grocery store, you know, and needed, you know, to buy food, then I might have been a little less unhappy about it. I mean, I'm still unhappy no matter how you look at it, because it's still theft no matter what you do. But I'm beyond angry, because this is not somebody who's hurting because of the economy. This is somebody who is a thief, an outright thief. And they charged it, what was it, Thursday afternoon? Just before 4 o'clock. I was at the office in Orange County, and they charged it in North Hollywood. And I called, you know, once I found out right before 6 o'clock, right around 6 o'clock, I called my, you know, the bank, and I said, this is a huge problem. This is not authorized. Somebody has stolen my card. Not my card, because my card is with me.
Right.
So they didn't steal my actual card. They stole my number somehow, some way, made themselves a duplicate card, a fraudulent card, and took money. Took money out of our account.
Yeah.
The bank thankfully jumped on it like white on rice, and they cut off my, you know, card number, canceled that card number, and tagged it as fraudulent. And what that means is if somebody tries to go charge anything on that card, the vendor is going to get a message that says, apprehend the plastic, take the card, cut it up, hold on to it, and hopefully they'll call the police. And if they find this person that did this, they've asked if we want to prosecute, and I've already said absolutely. And the reason why, if it were somebody who like was desperate and needed money for food for their family, I'd probably be a little more lenient. I'd be mad, but I'd be a little more lenient, and I probably wouldn't be as upset. But this person went to a car wash. How do you buy $200 worth of anything at a car wash? Somebody got their car detailed? I mean, like, major detailed? And maybe bought a couple of air fresheners and a soda?
A lot of Jim Neighbors CDs, maybe?
Christmas songs? Honestly, it boggles the mind. How do you justify that? I don't care how bad your situation is. What do you buy at a car wash that runs you a charge of $190?
Well, and I we'll probably hear and there, well, you know, you Christians, oh, you want to prosecute this person. Well, you know, I mean, we kind of lined out that if it was for food, we may kind of think a little differently about it, because that's food.
But to get
your car
necessity.
Detailed and waxed up, that's kind of...
And look, let's face facts. I don't think they bought anything other than getting their car detailed. And the reason I say that is because... it came out to an even exact $190. Mm-hmm. If it had been for food or any kind of, necessities or anything like that, it would have come out to, you know, $189.45, some random number. But it came out to exactly $190. When they get the receipt back, which, by the way, the bank is going to get a hold of that receipt from that car wash company, and they find out what name they used, we'll know whether or not they stole my actual true identity or if they just got a hold of my number.
So to kind of tie in what we were saying before, again, you know, this could be just people just kind of running a scam. Obviously, they knew where to go, where you didn't have to put in the zip code. So this place has probably been hit before, I would imagine, okay?
Possibly.
So, number two, the economy is hitting there. And again, this could have happened probably all the time, maybe. It just happens all over the place.
Right.
There's probably a list of these type of ATM machines that don't require a zip code or anything like that.
Well, it didn't require a PIN.
Right.
They ran it as a credit card.
Okay.
Because if they had run it as a debit card, by nature, I don't know if you realize this, but debit cards have, even if they have the Visa logo, meaning they could be a check card or they could be a Visa card, if it is run through most machines, it doesn't let you choose credit. It will always default to ATM. So this was clearly not set up as an ATM. This is set up as an actual Visa credit card.
Okay. So, anyway, we talked to the lady there at the claims department.
Right.
And she gave us actually some good advice.
She did.
We hear and we don't do, but we hear it. And we say, well, we don't have enough time, but what's the advice that she gave us?
The big piece of advice was, there's several things. First of all, check your balances regularly. Check your checking account online regularly. Review it as often as you can and keep tabs on what you spend. If you see a charge that does not look like anything you did, you need to call immediately. Because the faster you catch it, the more likely they're going to be able to refund you your money back, and then the bank will deal with and what have you. You have the ability and the option to file a police report, which I forgot to do. But you have the ability to file a police report. So that is an option of something that you can do. And if you do, your bank's going to want to get a copy of that so that they can, you know, pursue that if necessary. Then the other thing she said was, when you use your card at, like, say, a gas station, and this is something that apparently is pretty rampant right now in Arizona, they're putting skimmers into the gas pumps. What that is it's a little device that somehow fits inside of they crack open these you know, ATM things or these...
Right.
In the gas pump. And it reads electronically all the information on your card, which would be your address, your zip code, your name. It reads the security code that's on the back of your credit card. If it's tied to a checking account number, I don't know if it reads that or not, but I would imagine it probably does. They get every piece of information off of that card that they can. She said, to avoid that, go into the gas station to pay for your gas. Don't use the pump convenient thing. Because honestly, if they're not paying any attention, somebody's going to stick a skimmer in there and get your information. And unfortunately, with the economy the way it is, we're going to see more of this happening more frequently.
I wonder, on a side note, I wonder if it's probably safer to use that TruePass or whatever.
Oh, the swipe?
Right, the little fob or something?
Yeah, the key fob thing. If you have that, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know how that differs. I really don't.
Okay.
I would assume that, you know, obviously, excuse me, if you lose that.
Right.
You got to report that as soon as possible right. So that they can, you know, deactivate that one and get you a new one. But that may be a better way to go.
If
you have the ability to have that.
You know, obviously this isn't a geek review show, but I know that there's an iPhone app that's called Assistant, I think, where you can set up all your bank account information, all these types of things, so you can basically click on it, hit it, and go there and kind of review certain bits of information.
Well, and you can also, if you do have, you can sign up for mobile banking.
Okay.
And if you have a phone, you can even text. You can get text. They do have a text ability. I know Wells Fargo does. I don't know about the others. I'm assuming they do. Obviously, if you have an iPhone or some other PDA like an iPhone, you can get your mobile stuff. You got to be real careful with that too, obviously, because if you lose the phone or it's stolen, you've got to call immediately and let them know that it's been compromised, because then they'll shut off your ability to access your banking. But by all means, get anything you can set up to check your account balances, check your accounts constantly. You know, go inside the gas station to pay for it, because that seems to be the most common. Your ATMs, it's going to be tough. If you've got one that's located inside a bank, you know, sometimes they'll have them inside, you know, the bank in a little vestibule, and you might even have to swipe your own card just to get into it. That might be worth doing if versus an outside ATM that's just out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, let me kind of finish geeking out, and then we'll move on. But, you know, another thing I did is I put wallpaper with my name and a phone number that, if lost, it's my phone.
Right.
And I did one thing further, and I don't think you've done, and you definitely need to do this,
is
I got a Grand Central number, which is a number that points to wherever you want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to put my cell number on there. I put this Grand Central number, and then the place it goes to is my cell number. So the number that's there will go to my cell, but it's not my cell number.
It's not your cell number, right.
So, you know, and there's a lot of talk about Grand Central was bought by Google, and now it's Google Voice. I haven't upgraded to Google Voice. It's still Grand Central. This is so geeky, I can't even believe we're going here. But anyway... Grand Central, I think, works fine. I've heard some weird stuff about Google Voice. So anyway, I put that wallpaper on my phone because thinking every iPhone in the world has a cover on it and it looks the same, whether you got rocks or earth, or it all looks the same. And then I also password protected my iPhone as well.
Mm-hmm. And
you should do that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so all these things, you know, it's always be...
Just be really diligent. And then the other thing that they told me, which we already have this, is we have fraud monitoring and protection on our with the credit bureaus. So that's definitely worth looking into.
But what is a dollar amount it hits before they call you? What does it have to be?
I don't
I think it's
know.
Like $1,000, isn't it? I mean, it's not like...
I don't know.
Two.
Okay. I don't know. All right. I don't know.
So anyway... it's tough times.
I'm actually at this point ready to get rid of that though and go to something like LifeLock.
Okay.
Honestly, think I want to go to LifeLock just because I think it'd be a better, a better option. Anyway.
So, just be aware. Times are tough, and people are going to be just, for lack of a better term, crazy. Mm-hmm. They will try anything to get any amount of money in whatever means necessary. And I think we're paying for not paying for feeding programs and different things. I know I'm going to get a ton of email about that. I really don't care. It's because the more you hold back from people that need money, the more they're going to reach into your pocket electronically or not to get it. So that's just my little soapbox there.
Yeah, I think that people are panicking and freaking out, and I think there are options that people don't want to look at. And
I know there's bad people.
There are. It's so, just reality.
All right, I don't want to go there. But anyway, just be careful. Please, watch your stuff.
Right.
Go inside. Take the precautions. Next time on the news, when they say, you know, keeping your ATM card safe, do what they say instead of not, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know we've heard before, you know, the skimmers and the things.
Right.
We just didn't listen and
nobody,
we go, I'm safe, I cover up, I don't show the number to anybody, and that don't even matter.
No, it has no bearing on it.
Anyway.
But, and here's the other thing is that, I mean, look, you think it can never happen to me because I'm really careful. I am very careful. I'm obsessively careful. I don't leave a, you know, a table at a restaurant if I don't think that the waiter's going to come by and grab my, you know, my card slip fast enough. I don't leave cash laying there. I make sure the waiter gets the cash.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just real obsessive about that, and yet this happened to me.
Okay. So we're going to be okay, and we'll probably, you know, tell you a little bit about how it kind of ended up, and
yeah, we'll definitely,
well, we stirred up a lot of pots on this subject. But anyway, we're going to move on to a happy topic. Okay, Colleen's family has been in the limelight for a long time. Her grandfather was in To Serve Man, one of the great Twilight Zone episodes. He was actually in two Twilight Zone episodes. He was in The Spirit of St. Louis. He was in Sleeper. He's a great character actor. So the Robinson family is kind of entrenched. Actually, her great-grandfather drew cartoons for the New Yorker magazine. So there's always this type of...
Political cartoons.
Political cartoons. But yeah, there's always this artistic, whether it's drawing or...
Creative.
Creative aspect to the Robinson family. So... you know, a while back, Taylor, I don't want to tell the whole story, but Taylor really kind of said, I want to get into acting. Taylor's real cute and real, you know, kind of outgoing.
She's our niece, for those that don't know.
She's our niece, and so she kind of gave it a shot, and, you know, the whole movie thing really wasn't for her. I think she's more suited for the stage. But then around that time, you know, once you get kids involved, the managers start looking at and the talent agents start looking at the siblings too, like, well, what about Noah, her brother, our nephew, what about him? And so, you know, he tested, and I saw him in probably not his first play, but one of his early plays was
actually Grease. Grease was the first play.
Wow. Okay, I saw Grease,
and actually it wasn't so much that the talent or anybody was looking at him. He just said, you know, I'd like to try that.
Yeah.
I think I would like to do that. Taylor had been taking some classes, after school classes, and it was like 5 days a week, and one day was, you know, singing stuff, and another day was art, and another day was writing, and another day was, you know, drama, and another one was modeling. I mean, she really enjoyed taking those classes. And then Noah's kind of like, well, I think I can act. And we kind of all went, oh, okay.
Right.
Because he was always into, you know, like the, you know, he wasn't really into football, but he was kind of into football. He was into playing video games and reading. That kid was a voracious reader. My gosh.
Yeah.
Give him a book and he'd be, you know, clamoring for the next one before he could blink. I mean, he just was constantly, always had his nose in a book. And we're like, Noah acting? Noah's kind of quiet. He didn't say much. He's, you know, whatever. And my sister said, all right, well, if you want to try it, all right, sure, no problem. So they started taking him, and the teachers were like, he's actually really good. And so he ended up playing Danny Zuko in a little, you know, this little theater company, little children's theater company production of Grease.
So let's just kind of
for his first
bump
play.
Forward. Okay, so that went really well. He did a couple commercials. One was a series of commercials for Got Milk. Another one was for Frosted Mini Wheats that I still see now and again.
Yeah.
He's a smart kid who raises his hand and answers the teacher's question about something. Then he was in the Rainbow Tribe, which we were fortunate enough to see filming on 2 days. And, you know, it was a touching film with a little bit of, kind of reminded me of like a Meatballs and Bad News Bears mixed with, you know, a dramatic story about one of the guys who was a camp counselor there and his life and everything. And so a lot of different elements. But anyway, Rainbow Tribe, he
it's being released prominent, this summer, from what I understand.
A prominent part in that.
Yeah.
And so he got iCarly. He played Gibby on iCarly. And I'm the worrisome uncle. I mean, yes, I would love to be a star, sure. There you go. I said it. Okay. But I'm already am that, right? No.
You're my star.
I know. So, but when he started doing iCarly, that's when people were not noticing him in Chuck E. Cheese, his dad was saying, at Disneyland. People were like, Gibby, Gibby, Gibby. And
he went to a mall.
Yeah.
He went to a mall, you know, a couple weeks ago. He was in the mall, and all these tween girls are screaming, oh my God, it's Gibby. Oh yeah. My God, it's Gibby. He has got a huge fan following, and he's not even a regular character. He's a recurring character on the show. They go to dinner as a family, and people will stare at them. And then finally, you know, this happened a couple months ago. You know, this woman walks over to the table and she says, "I'm really sorry, we don't mean to stare, but my kids think that they recognize your son. Is it possible that we know him from somewhere?" And you know, of course, my brother-in-law says, yeah, he's Gibby on iCarly. And they're like, oh my gosh, we thought that's what it was. We weren't sure, you know, would it be okay if we got his autograph? And he loves it. He takes it all in stride, and he's totally cool with it. You know, he and Taylor did junior lifeguards this summer. And the minute he walked into the, you know, out on the beach with the rest of the group that was going to be in the class, the junior lifeguards class for that summer, you know, for those few weeks, they were like, I got your Gibby from iCarly. Mm-hmm. He gets recognized everywhere he goes. And my dad took him to Costco the other day. And they're just sitting there. And people were, like, coming up to him. Oh, my gosh, are you Gibby? Are you Gibby?
Well, then, you know, I got... Look, I know... Okay, I know good acting. I'm just talking for me right now this second here. I watched him prepare for a scene for Rainbow Tribe. And it scared me because I saw him become his role. That is a feat that is difficult for most people to kind of find that role, get into it. And I watched him look at the AD and he kind of nodded like, okay, I'm ready. And he stepped in, he did that role, and then he just kind of snapped out of it. You know, it was amazing to watch him work. And
he's a natural.
He loves the waiting. He doesn't mind it at all.
Well, no, and you know why? Because he's learning the business. Mm-hmm. So he's really fascinated by what has to happen next. And, you know, and he's like, hey, should I do it? Like, I mean, he really, truly is trying very hard to learn this business. And he loves every aspect of it. He doesn't mind sitting around for 2 hours waiting for a cloud to pass mm-hmm. by. That doesn't bother him in the least.
Now, he was in 4 Christmases, but he was cut.
Yeah.
And... he was in All About Steve.
That hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
With Sandra Bullock.
And so anyway, we got an email that he was up for ER, and then that he did film an episode of ER, which I just saw a couple hours ago. And
it was the episode that aired on Thursday night. Thursday night.
March 26th, right?
26th, right. Yes.
So... yes. And it was about the kids in the camp for the heart.
Yeah, there's a real camp on Catalina right. Island called Camp Del Corazon, and it's for kids who have had heart transplants. And the kids that are at this camp have all had one, some of them even have had two heart transplants. And they're kids. They're young kids. And every summer, I guess, they have this camp over on Catalina, and these kids can go over there and be kids and be around other kids who understand what they've been through for, you know, a week of camp.
So I was blown away by it. I'm a pretty critical TV watcher, and I believed it. When I was watching him, I was in there, because I can spot a fake. I can spot somebody who cannot act, and he did it. He pulled it off.
And
I think he held his own with Scott Grimes, right?
Scott Grimes was the redhead, but the one he was sitting there across from, I don't remember that
okay.
guy's name.
Yeah.
The British actor.
That guy.
He's very good.
So I really think that you have not seen the last of Noah.
No.
I think we're just about to bust out. So I think I know something you don't know. Okay, first of all, this is what, the 29th? 28th?
Today's the 28th.
Of March. He will be on, Noah, our nephew, will be on the Tonight Show next week. I don't even know which day.
We don't know what day.
But that's what
the producer, the Orange County Register, the paper for
right.
Orange County, they wrote an article about him because of the episode that he was doing. Because
Local Boy Makes Good, and
yeah,
then they talked about
the heart.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And they talked about iCarly, talked about the family, talked about, you know... Talked about my mom.
So.
But, they wrote this... The reporter, I guess, had spent a few hours with them, but she had the article written within, like, 15 minutes. She had enough information from, you know, the interview was done in about 15 minutes, but she stayed there and, you know, interacted with the family and stuff for a while. But the producer of The Tonight Show, one of the producers, read the article and was so impressed by Noah that they've asked for him to come down next week and be on The Tonight Show. And provided nothing else, you know, goes wrong with that, I mean, that's the goal, the plan.
And I know for just hearing about certain things, sometimes you get bumped for time. And,
right,
you know,
right,
so,
right.
We're hoping that it works out, but
right.
I also read a post on Facebook from Taylor that he's going to present at the...
he's not presenting at, but he is...
Okay.
They bought tickets for it. He's going to go to the
Kids' Choice Awards. Right.
Tonight. He should be there right now.
Okay.
In fact, I don't know what time it starts, but he should be there, so we'll have to watch it or tape it. And
he's not presenting, but he's
going
to be on or... He's just going?
Well, he's going. I think my sister, I don't know if my brother-in-law, I don't know who's taking him, but they're up there, and the possibility is that if iCarly wins for best TV,
okay.
you know, best kids
mm-hmm.
TV show, he may go up on stage
with
the cast
okay.
because he is a recurring character.
Right, right.
So that would be a pretty amazing thing as well. I think his fans would love that. I'm
yeah.
pretty sure they would. So yeah, he's at Kids' Choice tonight. He's not presenting, but you never know. He could end up going up on stage at some point in time, and that would be pretty amazing. And tonight's show next week. And yeah, I mean, this OC Register article, it was a really great article.
Well, and I'll post a link to it in the show notes. But you know, in the environment on television where you see a bunch of reality TV show punks and a lot of dumb people and a lot of silly shows, you know, it's really cool to still know that there's somebody that actually has talent,
mm-hmm.
even though they're young,
mm-hmm.
and there's still room for them.
Right.
You know, Noah is a really, he's a kind soul. He really is.
He very much is.
But he gets these, you know, punk roles where he's just mean and all this. And I guess that's really the range, is he could play nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Or he could play,
yeah.
you know, thug.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
Gibby's a pretty nice kid.
Right.
Gibby's kind of a dorky, goofy, you know, kid. And then he gets this, you know, this bully kind of a role in the Rainbow Tribe. And it's completely not Noah at all. I mean, totally not Noah at all. And yet, to watch him in it, you're like... It's pretty amazing to see. It's I'm proud of the kid. I you know, I couldn't be any prouder if it was my own kid. And he's got an amazing gift. And the nice thing is that he's so grounded and so... He's going to be a different type of teen star.
Right.
And what I see.
The one thing I want to say is this, is the family is a very, very strong Christian family. Mm-hmm. But it's not the kind of Christian family that you normally see who's very closed off and very narrow-minded.
No.
I applaud Colleen's sister and brother-in-law so much, and I tell them often that I'm so happy that they allowed Noah to use his talent that God gave him and just let him run with it. Let him go with it instead of this real... Now, be careful of the evils. I know they talk to him about certain things. I know they
Absolutely.
Do. Be careful of this. Be careful of that. But they still allow him to grow in talents that I believe that God has given him.
Yeah.
So, I couldn't be prouder. I think he's got the goods, and I think that we're going to see a lot for him. So, you know, pray for him. It's still Hollywood, you know.
Right.
But I think he's going to be okay. You know, I know that the family loves him, and, you know, his dad loves him, and his mom loves him. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they got a full house there.
Yeah,
you know?
They do.
But so... Noah Monk, keep watching, because I think you're going to see more of this kid. And to be on ER, a Steven Spielberg produced show, two episodes before the end, that's pretty
second
incredible.
To the last episode, yeah. Before mm-hmm. the series yeah. ends forever. Historic, you know.
If he gets on Lost before the end, I'm going to have him pack me in a suitcase.
No kidding,
just
me
take
too.
Me along.
Me too.
With him. But,
dude.
You know, Noah, if you're listening, man, we love you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep rocking, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So, I think that's it. It's gone way longer than I envisioned. Is there anything else that you
No, I think we
say?
Pretty much covered everything.
I think we got two shows here. I don't even know how much. So, anyway, this is Jeff and Colleen, and, thanks for listening,
mm-hmm.
and we can always use more listeners, but, you know, the amount of what we got is cool. So,
yeah.
We'll talk to you later. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that's it, and just want to let you know that there are some great, great discussions and interviews coming up. There's just great stuff. So please stay subscribed. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe, and let some more people know. That'd be great. So until next time, see ya. This is Jeff. Bye-bye. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni Zone Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.ronizone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Elite Beat Agents, Swap Tree, Knight Rider, Audiobooks, Six Zombie Kids in the Middle of the Night, Ocarinas, Exoforce, USB Bracelets, Balticon, Stranger Things, Cats on Vacation, Pokemon, Disney World Laser Battle, Album Art, Mopod, Tin Man, and if you think that's geeky, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm Doug Rapson, and if you give me 15 minutes a week, I'll give you a pat on the head, a shot of geek in the arm, and a thought or two from your fellow netizens. Geek Acres, the podcast. It's more fun than a clone vampire superhero dual-wielding lightsaber nunchucks because, you know, lightsabers equals cool. Nunchucks equals cool. Lightsaber nunchucks? Unbelievable. Check it out weekly at geekacres.net or set it and forget it by searching Geek Acres in iTunes.
She's also very bold.
Yes.
And not afraid to back down. I mean, she stands up to Tarkin
right
on the bridge of his ship.
Yep, she does.
And says something to the extent of, the more you tighten your grip, the more systems will slip through your fingers. He's like towering over her.
Oh,
Vader,
yeah,
and Tarkin,
she's not
both
afraid.
And she's, I think that was a nice choice, too. Not only is Carrie Fisher very smart and articulate, but she's small. So it's a nice contrast to see this small woman be so independent and fierce, you know, standing up against something that's so much bigger than her. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And when you're not listening to this glorious podcast, we would love to have you listen to ours, the Anomaly Podcast.
That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.